side for Tom Brenneman's beautiful restaurant on Vine Street between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard. Kellogg's Variety Package and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes serve you breakfast in Hollywood with your host, Gary Moore.
Thank you. Thank you very much, John Nelson. Good morning, friends. How's everybody feeling today, huh? That's wonderful. I know that all of you enjoyed those fine Kellogg cereals we served this morning. And if you'll just remain seated, the waiters will pass out finger bowls so that while the program is on, you can rinse out your stockings in Ivory Flakes. There is nothing formal about this program.
Boy, that's what I call real merchandising. We've hardly been on the air for 2 minutes, and already we're working two plugs for our sponsors.
Well, John, boy, that's just because I appreciate a good sponsor when I see one. You know, when I first started in radio, I was sponsored by the makers of Perkins Gherkins. Perkins Gherkins, the pickle with the personality. That's right. We had a dandy slogan at that time, as I recall it. Perkins Gherkins for your internal workings. You know, the program was all right, but on my day off, I had to work in the factory, you know.
You worked in the pickle factory?
Yeah, I would stand there all day with a little mallet in my hand, socking the pickles to give them those little lumps. It was quite a job, really.
I can imagine. How long did you stay with the Perkins Gherkins people?
Well, until I got very lucky, John. I got lucky, and I was hired by the makers of Carmichael's Catsup. They had quite a slogan, too. Carmichael's Catsup. The only catsup in the world containing real cats. Then, John, one day a terrible thing happened. Our sponsor, Mr. Carmichael, fell into one of the big vats of catsup, and he was drowned. And after that, we had to change our slogan to Carmichael's Catsup, the only catsup in the world containing Carmichael. I don't know. Somehow or other, we didn't sell much after that.
Well, then it's small wonder you appreciate the sponsors you have now.
Ah, you're so right, John. When they put me on this program, it made the second time in history that Mr. Proctor has taken a gamble. And before going on, I do want to say this, friends. Today I'm winding up my fourth week on Breakfast in Hollywood, and if I even come anywhere near to keeping the program on its feet, it's because of your own very heartwarming cooperation. Your cards, your letters, and your wires have been most inspiring. They've made me realize that we must make a good job of this. And I want to assure you that I read every letter that comes in, every single one of them. And I'm trying terribly hard to heed your criticisms and your advice. I think you can understand that with this tremendous volume of mail, it's impossible for me to answer them all. But don't ever let that stop you from writing in. We want your ideas. We need your ideas. And thanks again for everything. Oh, and say, John.
Yes, Garrison.
Speaking of who?
Garrison.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yes.
Speaking of mail, did any of our friends send in problems to be solved by the Gary Moore Poor Housekeeping Institute today?
Oh, scoodles of them, Gary. Scoodles of them.
Scoodles of them?
Yes, that's halfway between scabs and oodles.
Oh. Well, I think that's just Dichy. That's halfway between dandy and peachy. But anyway, we only have time left for one letter this morning, John, so just pick one out at random and let's have at it, shall we?
Well, I'll pick this one from a Mrs. Harry Kalvig of Medford, Oregon. She says, Dear Gary, I'm coming to Hollywood on a visit soon, and I would love to have you show me around town, as I am sure you know all the movie stars.
Well, bless our little Greyhound bus ticket. I'll tell you, Mrs. Kalvig, I have been here in Hollywood for quite some time. In fact, when I first came here, the Hollywood Bowl was just a demo test. But still, I'm not very well acquainted with the movie people. I don't know. Oh, to be sure, I do have a nodding acquaintance with Greta Garbo. I say hello to her, and she says nodding. Get that one out of there right now. But I have been making progress, lady. 3 years ago, I moved in next door to Ann Sheridan. That was only 3 years ago, and already we're calling each other by first names. She calls herself Ann, and I call myself Gary. So with Mrs. Colvig's letter out of the way, what do you suggest we do next, John?
Well, I suggest you sally down the middle aisle here and see what folks we have with us in the restaurant this morning.
All right. Well, before I do that, friends, once again, we'd like to say that it is impossible for us to fill any mail order requests for tickets to Breakfast in Hollywood. And I'm going to repeat that. Please do not write for tickets through the program. Tickets are available only at the box office of the restaurant. The box office is open all day. We're on Vine Street between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevards, and it'll be a cinch for you to find the place. You just wander down the street murmuring out loud, "I'd like to have a ticket to breakfast in Hollywood," and either John Nelson or myself will come out with a butterfly net and snag you where you stand. So when you get to town, get your tickets right here at the restaurant, but please do not write in for them. Well, we're very pleased, friends, this morning to have with us a large group of middle-sized ladies in very large hats. All of them white, all of them sombreros. I feel like I'm swimming in a sea of cream puffs here this morning. I don't know exactly what this organization is. I understand it is the Emblem Club. I know something about it. Who is the head man or the head lady here this morning? Well, everybody's pointing at everybody else. Would you mind coming on up here? Let's give her a hand so that we can find out something about this organization. Oh, she's beautifully gotten up. I wish all of you people could be here to see this. In a lovely white riding skirt, frontier clothes, a white and black blouse, and a great big 10-gallon hat on top. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your name, please?
Peggy Morrison.
And where are you from,
Miss? Las Vegas, Nevada.
You look like Las Vegas.
We're very proud of it.
Well, you should be. Now, tell me something about this natty collection of ladies here this morning. The Emblem Club is a
great... Routine. The Emblem Club are Lady Elks.
Or Lady Elks.
We are the wives, mothers, daughters, and sisters of Elks.
Mm-hmm. And you have your own organization.
Yes, it's a national organization. And this particular drill team is from Las Vegas, our drill team, ladies' drill team from the Emblem Club, 114 in Las Vegas.
I see. Well, now, you say a drill team. Do you drill on foot or on horseback?
On foot.
On foot?
Yes, you bet.
I thought somebody back there says, and that ain't good. Oh, you're saying they are good. Well, I thought you meant it was no good walking. You wanted to get on horseback.
We marched thousands of miles during the Helderado celebration and it's just over with.
You then? Say, if Dr. Scholl is listening in, I think I have a great market for your football. Does anybody happen to have a big tub of hot water on them? We want you ladies to relax. What are you doing here in Hollywood?
Oh, we came down for the installation of officers of the Emblem Club of Long Beach 106 Emblem Club. And we have so many of the ladies from Long Beach and all over Southern California that are members of the Emblem Club here with us this morning.
You sure do. Now, how many of you did you bring down in these white hats from Las Vegas? How many of you all together?
We're very proud of this handsome gentleman sitting here, our bus driver. We chartered a 37-passenger Greyhound bus, and he is...
You mean the prematurely gray gentleman down here? We'll get to him a little later.
About 40 ladies are under his care from Las Vegas.
I don't know whether to congratulate you or give you my sympathy, friend. We're going to have to get down to him later. Well, I want to get around to talk to a lot of you, but I want to thank you, particularly Mrs. Morrison, for coming up and telling us about your club, and so that you won't go back to Las Vegas empty-handed, Breakfast in Hollywood wants to give you this lovely pair of Kislov gloves. They're elegant, washable leather.
Oh,
aren't they nice?
Beautiful, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much.
And Mrs. Morrison, don't go away. Want you also, so that you can take the best of care of those Kislov gloves, a box of ivory flakes for quick, gentle, and safe care.
You know, our drill team, with that 30 pair of nylon hose, you see, so
yeah,
they will use ivory.
You tell them to. You tell them to. 30 pair, you better take another box along with you. Say, Carson.
Whatever you're going to say, Gary, I can take it.
What I want to know is, can you dish it out?
Oh, right out of my dishpan. A song about ivory flakes. Listen.
Huh?
For hands that will be smoother, younger to see, here is all that it takes. Only one box of ivory flakes.
That's more than a dishpan, ditty, ladies. It's a fact. One box of ivory flakes is all it takes for smoother, younger-looking hands. Now, I imagine you want smoother, prettier hands, doesn't every gal? Then what about ivory flakes for dishes? The same ivory flakes that help keep your clothes so lovely. They'll help your hands, too. In the dishpan, they don't make your hands rough and red the way strong wash day soaps can do. If your hands are losing out to a strong wash day soap, give them a break. Try ivory flakes for dishes. Pure, mild ivory flakes, the flake form of ivory soap. One box of ivory flakes is all it takes for smoother, younger-looking hands. Ounce for ounce, ivory flakes give faster suds, longer-lasting suds, suds that wash more dishes than even leading wash-day soaps. For speed, for suds.
For hands that will be smoother, younger to see. Here is all that it takes. Only one box of Ivory Flakes.
Pure Ivory Flakes.
Just like Carnegie Hall. Sounds beautiful. Friends, I wish that we could all remember the wish which wins a wishing ring today for Mrs. Ann Specht of 516 Bliss Boulevard, Iowa Falls, Iowa, who sent in the following. She says, and this is very important. It says, now that the picnic season is here, I wish everyone would remember to chaperone their cigarettes and not let them go out alone. It's a pretty cute idea, you know. Now, if we can get three strong men to help this poor bus driver up on the steps here. Come on up, sir. Here he comes, this harrowed-looking gentleman. How are you, sir?
Quite well, thank you.
Now, you don't have to be polite. How are you, really?
I'm really fine.
You are?
I really am.
I forgot to ask you what your name is. What is your name?
Jim Fair.
Jim Fair, yes. And you are the driver of the bus that brought all of these ladies here from Las Vegas, huh?
I am.
What time this morning did you start out?
I started out yesterday morning.
Must have made a lot of stops along the way. What kept you, Jim?
We took in the sights.
Oh, I don't think they're such sights. I think they're kind of pretty this morning. Tell me, Jim, how is it to have... How many in the bus again?
34.
34. 34 backseat drivers, you have.
I wouldn't say that.
Huh?
I wouldn't say that. After all, I have to ride back with them.
Well, now, look, when do you leave here to go back?
Immediately after the program.
Coward. The man is going to hit and run.
Did you ever have 34 husbands waiting on your return?
If you don't get back, you're really in trouble, aren't you?
I am indeed.
You sure are. This man will be, what was this fellow's name, the Ding Dong Daddy from San Francisco, the man who eloped with seven women? I think we have the new champion here this morning. Well, Jim, tell me about your career as a bus driver. You don't always haul just the Emblem Club around.
No, indeed, but I would like to say that it's certainly been a pleasure.
Uh-huh.
A really swell bunch of girls and a very good team.
Well, I want to ask you this now. This will be my last question for you this morning. Given a chance... For instance, next year at the same time, if the Emblem Club wants you to drive them to Los Angeles, and you have your choice of saying yes or saying no, which would you say?
Yes, definitely.
All right, that's enough, I think. Jim, you're a man who's had a lot of rough experiences here. We want to give you, first of all, a lifetime subscription to Tom Brenneman's magazine. And that's kind of like giving you an orchid, too, because the cover of the current issue, designed by Tom himself, shows a breathtaking, lovely orchid in full color. And so that you can be comfortable while you're reading the magazine, sit back and put your feet up and smoke one of our big breakfast in Hollywood cigars.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. If when you get to Las Vegas, you can't get those 34 ladies out of the bus, just light that cigar. That'll take care of them all. Well, friends, I'd like to remind you again that your used kitchen fats fill a vital need. They help relieve the worldwide shortage of fats and oils, so everybody... Save every drop. Well, now I see by the clock that it's Kellogg time on Breakfast in Hollywood, brought to you by the kindly Kellogg folks of Battle Creek, Mish. And this morning, we have come to drama time. Drama time is the time, a couple of times a week, or perhaps once a week, when we reach out into our audience here in the restaurant and pick out a new star. Create overnight a brand new radio star. Has anybody in here who's had any dramatic experience, who has any ambition to be on the radio? We'll work on this side of the restaurant this time. Anybody who has any ambitions at all to be an actress or an actor? Young man, you're a little young for that, I'm afraid. How about let's get somebody from over here? Who wants to volunteer to be in our drama this morning? All right over here. Come on up on the stage. That's fine. Here she comes. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We have written a very stirring drama here this morning. No, young man, not you. He's so cute. Let me talk to him for half a second. Come up here, buddy. Come on over here. He's been so anxious to get up here. Hello. Hello. What's your name?
Dennis.
Dennis? Did you want to be an actor this morning?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what you do. I don't think you can handle this thing. This is very dramatic, you see. So you go back to your table while I'm talking here to this lady that I'm talking to, and you think us up a good joke to tell, huh? And then I'll call on you in a few minutes, and if you tell...
I don't know if I can think of any joke.
Well, I can't either, but I stand up and try. You go back and you think of one. Somebody will tell you one, and I'll call on you in a few minutes. Maybe we can dream up some kind of prize for the young man. Now, good morning.
Good morning,
what
Gary.
Is your name, please?
Nellie Barron.
Awfully nice to see you. Have you had a dramatic experience?
Well, a little.
A little?
With my boy, Dennis.
Oh, with the young man you were just talking
uh-huh.
to. Well, all right. We have written a drama here this morning for you to perform. The two characters in here are called Jane and George. You are to read the part that says Jane, and I don't read the other part. Do you understand?
Yes.
This is a drama for two people and very dramatic, friends. It starts out like this. I say, Jane.
Yes, George.
I've got a new job, Jane.
You've got a new job, George?
Yes, I've got a new job, Jane.
Well, tell me, what is your new job located, George?
Where is my new job located? My new job is located on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
Your new job is located on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shady... Shallow Shoals, Virginia, George?
You keep pitching. Yes, my new job is located on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
Well, tell me, who is your new job with on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, George?
Well, my new job's with a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
Your job is with a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, George.
Sounds like a vacuum cleaner, doesn't it? Yes, my new job's with a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
Well, tell me, who do you work for in your new job at a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, George?
Who do I work for? Why, I work for the rear-end mender and fender bender in a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
You work for the rear-end fender and machine bender in a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, George.
She made it! Yes, I work for the rear-end bender and fender bender in a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
Well, tell me, what do you do in your new job with this rear and mender and fender and fender at a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop and shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, George?
What do I do in my new job? Well, I'm a motor meter mileage reader for the rear-end mender and fender bender at a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
You're a motor meter mileage reader for the rear-end mender and fender bender at a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, George?
Yes, I'm a motor meter mileage reader for the rear-end mender and fender bender at a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop on a shady shore near Charlottesville called Shallow Shoals, Virginia, Jane.
Well, tell me, how do you like your new job as a motor meter mileage reader for the rear and mender and fender and bender of a certain sharp and ship-shaped machine shop for Shane Shure and the Charlottesville called Shallow Shore, Virginia, George?
I like it fine, honey, but I love the job you've done for us today, and thank you so very much. Don't go away. I tell you, you did that just about in record time, I think, and so that you can keep good time, here is a grueling precision watch for you.
Oh, Gary, thank you so much. This is wonderful.
You're more than welcome. You were a great sport, and thank you very much.
By the name, hello, Inez, Joel, Bruce, and Betsy, and Albert.
You almost forgot Albert, yet. Might as well go to jail for Albert as Inez Rose. Now, young man, come up here. You won?
Huh? I can't think any.
You can't think of any jokes? Well, I'll tell you, your mother is a very clever woman. She's just been working. We're going to send you back again. We have a prize for you, but you can't get the prize until you think of a joke. So you run back, and we'll check with you later on in the program. We're going to work that young man to death, aren't we? Well, I'm going to stunt his growth probably here this morning. Today's Good Neighbor Orchid, friends, is headed for the Keystone State, and here is the letter which earned it. The letter says...
I am writing you to recommend Mrs. Clyde Bittner, Sr. for your good neighbor. Prior to Christmas, Mrs. Bittner went to our local news agency and got the names of the patrons of our paper boy. Then she covered the entire route and solicited free will offerings for the gift for the boy. He was presented with a bicycle and a nice sum of money besides. The paper boy, the son of a widow with four children, gives his earnings to his mother to help pay for a small home she recently bought. Needless to say, he was very appreciative of her thoughtfulness, and we patrons think Mrs. Bittner's act is worthy of an orchid. And it's signed very sincerely,
one of the boy's customers, K.E. Gillen of 143 Addison Avenue, Greencastle, Pennsylvania.
Yes, that was truly a neighborly deed. And we're happy to send Tom's beautiful Armroy orchid by air express to Mrs. Clyde Bittner Sr. of South Allison Street in Greencastle, Pennsylvania, who is our good neighbor for today. Well, now, where are we on the program? Oh, well, you know, Johnny Nelson is an old friend of mine, and so is Carl Webster Pierce. We all work in harmony, that is, we work in wherever we can. So don't say I didn't warn you if we work a little harmony into the program right now. Anyway, we harmonize nice. So we hit our C's, fellas. Don't leave. We'll be through. Ready?
To please everyone at your table, there's no need for breaking your back. At breakfast, just serve the whole family from Kellogg's Variety Pack.
A fine commercial, boys. How about an encore?
Just a minute, Jerry. You know, first, I think we ought to explain the lyrics of that song.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't quite clear where we say there's no need for breaking your back.
Uh-huh.
No, the idea is that Kellogg's Variety Package brings you 10 generous individual packages and lets folks choose their favorite Kellogg cereal from 7 different kinds. You know, flaked, shredded, or popped, made of corn, wheat, or rice. You just reach for the cereal you want from Kellogg's Variety.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, John. Can we give our encore now?
Well, there's just one more. No. Just one more thing, too, Gary. The song starts off by saying, to please everyone at your table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's because whichever cereal they choose from Kellogg's Variety is always fresh from its own individual package, always crisp and delicious. Now, take Kellogg's Rice Krispies, for instance. They're so fresh that they snap, crackle, and pop when you pour on milk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Kellogg's Corn Flakes, Corn Soya, Pep, 7 swell varieties, 10 packages, all in that big white, green, and red carton of Kellogg's Variety. Any questions in the house?
Not here.
All clear, and together,
get Kellogg's Variety Pack!
Don Posset Choir has nothing on us. Nothing, absolutely. We'll be getting requests from the Metropolitan any day now. I want to get that young man. Have you found the joke yet? His mother's still whispering to him. Have you found one yet? Just a minute. I have to check with the joke department over here. Good morning. Again. Have you found the joke yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on up on the stage here where we can all hear it. Okay, young man. Come on up here. Now, what is this joke about?
I stayed home from school to get a bite. But my teacher doesn't know about it.
You stayed home from school to get a bite today and your teacher doesn't know about it? That's a joke?
I can't tell her.
That's a joke?
Yeah, it's a joke.
Wait till she finds out about it. That's no joke.
She can't find that out.
She can't? Go back and get us a joke. We're going to make you work. The last thing on the program. Somebody over there, tell the boy a joke. A nice, easy joke. We must have a whole house full of writers here. How about that? Well, good morning. How are you?
Fine.
May I ask you what your name is, please?
Mrs.
Nina
Ross.
Mrs. Nina Ross?
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Ross, you know why I'm over here, don't you?
Yeah.
I'll bet you do. There's a light in her eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Mrs. Ross, today is our honored guest on Breakfast in Hollywood.
Oh.
How old are you today?
81.
81 years old. She is our honored guest. Awfully nice to have you with us, Mrs. Ross. And where are you from?
Oh, Orange. California.
Orange, California?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us something about your life. When were you married?
Oh, I was married in 1890. Had two children.
You had two children? Where was that?
In Texas.
In Texas?
I've lived here 41 years.
Oh, you left Texas?
Huh?
Well, look, tell us something about your life now. What is the one thing that stands out in your mind, thinking back over those wonderful years?
Well, I think my children.
That's a mother for you. That's all I remember is the children.
Yes.
Sure.
I don't know of any just one thing that I can think of just now.
You're visiting with your children here now, are you?
Oh, no, I live here.
Oh, I see.
I live with my daughter in Orange.
Uh-huh. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do?
Oh, I sew.
You like to sew?
Oh, yes.
Say, just a minute. I have a button off my shirt here. Well, I guess we haven't got time to go in.
I made this suit. Myself.
You did make that suit? Stand up, let's get a look at that. Oh, boy. You just recently made that, huh?
Yes, I think.
Boy, that fits you better than mine fits me, and I didn't even touch it. You look just fine. Fine, George, you want to take some orders here this morning? Anybody want any suits made? Huh? You have enough of a problem just making your own clothes. Well, Mrs. Ross, it's just lovely to have you here this morning, and we want you to have the traditional orchid from breakfast in Hollywood. Isn't that lovely, ladies? Lovely Armroy orchid from Cecil. There you are from Sydney. You're more than welcome. You pin that on. It goes beautifully with that lovely gray suit.
Yes, it does. I'll get my daughter to pin it on for me.
You get your daughter to pin it on for you. All right. Thank you very much, Mrs. Ross. Let's give her a hand. She's a charming woman. I see the young man has left his table. I guess he's gone out to hire writers. Oh, he's over in the corner working on a joke. Look who's giving him a joke, Bobby Filipino. Well, if he isn't ready yet, we'll go ahead and come back to him. Let me see. Where is Mrs. Jerry? Where are we? Oh, right over here. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you mind standing up, please? Thank you very much. And somebody already gave you flowers, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
Yes, they look lovely, too. May I ask you what your name is?
Jerry Nuts.
Jerry Nuts?
That's right.
All right. Well, tell me something about you. Where are you from?
Long Beach, California.
Uh-huh. What was the most exciting thing that ever happened in your life?
Well, as I wrote on the paper, when I had to introduce my husband to my family and tell him his name was Nuts. That was hard to do.
Did they believe you?
No, they didn't.
Oh, they didn't believe you. They thought you were kidding them.
That's right. Huh? And the first time I ordered anything from the department store delivered, the man who waited on me said, "Young lady, if I were you, I'd change that name." And when I told him I had just changed it, there was no hope.
Well, I don't imagine you're too sorry about it, are you?
Not at all.
Good. I suppose everybody said when they minister marriage, he said Nuts to you.
Oh, he did?
Well, tell me, your husband is here with you now, is he?
No, he works the night shift. He's probably still sleeping.
Well, he works the night shift. Well, if you were to have your wish come true, what wish would you want this morning? Here, do we have a wishing ring? Let's have a wishing ring here. We want you to have the traditional breakfast in Hollywood wishing ring. Will you hold your finger out, please? That's fine. Now, we want you to wish, and we'll all wish along with you, that you get the thing that you want most in life. And what is that right now?
Well, June the 9th will be my 25th wedding anniversary, and I'd like him to have a day shift so we might go out.
You'd like your husband to be on the day shift?
That one day, anyway. There's no.
And where does he work, Mrs. Knott?
He's division foreman for Ford Motor in Long Beach.
Ford Motor. We happen to have a very close connection with the Ford Motor Company, and I think I can promise you right now that on June the 9th, your husband will have the day off.
Wonderful.
Okay? We'll fix that for you for sure. Thank you very much, Mrs. Knott. All right, young man, quickly. We have one.
Do you know why a rainbow has a poor figure?
Why a rainbow has a poor figure? Why?
Because
because there's a pot at the end, could that be?
Yeah.
That's it. We worked you to death. I know what you want. You want a bicycle, don't you? You're going to have that lovely Shelby bicycle over there in the corner that comes in all enamel bicycle. There it is with the Shockies fork in the front. Let's give the man a large hand. And friends, for a list of good and bad habits that may help or hinder you in your job, listen to Galen Drake, who follows over most of these stations. And so, until the next time, this is Gary Moore saying bye-bye. Thanks very much. You've been very kind. Breakfast in Hollywood is brought to you same time every day, Monday through Friday, by Kellogg Variety Package and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Place.
You know, it's a good morning when you say hello to spring with a bowl of Kellogg's Pep. But here's a cereal with real springtime flavor. Fresh, crisp, and cool. Strictly Kellogg in delicious whole wheat flavor. Strictly Kellogg in wonderful nourishment. Yes, these golden flakes of Pep are a swell energy food. And we all need extra energy these busy spring days. So be good to yourself. Be good to your family. Serve Kellogg's Pep every morning. Today at your grocer's, get the big white, green, and red package of Kellogg's Pep. Every morning. Today at your grocer's, get the big white, green, and red package of Kellogg's Pep.